all out of your mind, your mind, your mind, your mind.
And to the C students, I say, you too can be president of the United States.
Kissing cousin, hey, there's nothing. I mean, I don't really think about this as a problem of marrying first cousin.
So they all go vegan and wages and picket lines. I don't know, they're not often discussed in purgatory, are they?
I would not, could not, with a goat.
I think the problem with people like this is that they are so stupid that they have no idea how stupid they are.
Welcome to the Crab Diving Show with your hosts, Ryan Pfeiffer and Patrick Vile.
Holy overeating, ladies and gentlemen. You might need your daily dose of the crabs here. It is Crab Diving Live coming at you at 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. if you be listening to us out on the Eastern Type Coast. If you're not listening to us at that time, you're listening to a rerun. Hey, thanks for that. Right now, we are once again straddling the country by the magic of the internet and science and shit. My co-host Ryan Pfeiffer is in Pensacola, Florida.
What's up, everybody?
What's going on, man? How's it going?
Oh, wonderful. Just great. I had an epic flight to the panhandle of our wonderful country. And now I'm here.
Wonderful. Wonderful. You had a couple of flights, right? You had a big plane and then a little plane.
Yeah, I flew from LAX to Miami. And I on that flight, it's a five-hour flight. I sat next to this guy with a voluptuous man with big...
voluptuous.
Yeah, yeah. His arms were like those big gigantic worms from the movie Dune?
Yes, the sandworms or whatever.
Did you read those?
I did. I read the first book. I didn't read the whole series, but I did read the first one.
Yeah. His arms were just all over, spilling all over my armrest. And you know, on the airplane, you can listen to music that the airline pipes in, and you can, you know, plug your headphones into the armrest.
Right, right.
I did that, and whenever I wanted to change my channel of what I was listening to, I had to dig under this guy's, like, sausage arms.
Gross.
It was so horrible. I could barely sit there and be comfortable. And I got to tell you, listen, if you're a bigger person, I know. I get it. Listen, just... I don't know. You should buy two seats. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that's such an expense. But it's your choice to be that big, probably.
Well, and some of the fault also is to the evil corporate airlines trying to pack every square inch of humanity into that tiny little space.
Yeah, it's insane. It's just, it's nuts.
There's got to be, a better way, but...
transporter beam.
Yeah, they don't, or the high-speed rail, which for some reason this country just really ain't into.
Yeah, they hate it. Hey, I looked around for an Amtrak ticket to come out to Florida. It's like $600-$700, and it takes 4 days.
I don't get that at all. I mean, if you're going to take a train somewhere, maybe they should undercut a little bit and try to, compete with the flying machines.
I know. There's got to be a better way to travel in this country. It's just, it's so expansive and large. Streetcars, horseback, anything other than flying. Flying is a loser. I do not like it.
Speaking of streetcars, there's nothing more frustrating than here in Los Angeles every once in a while where the streets are shitty. You might see, because, our infrastructure and shit, but you'll frequently see exposed one of the old streetcars, I guess.
Yeah.
The old streetcar tracks that used to crisscross this freaking town that, were killed by Ford and the other wonderful, benevolent, evil giant corporates.
Yay!
Motherfuckers, yeah.
Sure.
They, it's really frustrating here in Los Angeles. We always talk about how bad the public transportation is. And even though here at Crab Diving Studios in Koreatown, we are kind of centrally located and close to one of the stops for the metro, for the subway here in Los Angeles, that it's still a pretty weak subway. It doesn't, it goes to Hollywood. Like it goes right to, Hollywood and Highland, right? That mall.
Oh yes. It's beautiful. It goes to the mall. It goes all the way into beautiful North Hollywood and then all the way downtown. By the way, are there more protests downtown?
There's stuff going on that's been going on daily since the, they even had protests worldwide. They had some, I saw pictures, there were some in London, there were some in Sydney.
Hello.
Protesting the shit that's going on here.
Wow. That's weird that they would protest. I would think that they would be like, oh, it's just a bunch of dumb Americans shooting each other and being racist.
They probably figured.
Yeah, what's the big deal? Here's a bunch of Americans shooting each other and being racist. Shocker.
Isn't that what America's all about?
Isn't that Wednesday for you guys?
In fact, one of the stories I have today is there's a report that came out from the United Nations. You know, that evil giant group.
Tyrannical.
Yeah, that we love most of the time, except when they decide that we're not doing something right. Then it's globalist tyranny.
Fuck you.
And it's us handing over our testicles to the world.
Eat me, stupid.
But the there was a report put out by the UN Committee Against Torture.
Yummy.
And there's an international anti-torture treaty. I guess that's one thing that the governments of the world could kind of agree on, is that maybe we shouldn't fucking torture each other.
Anti-torture. Wow, what a controversial stance to have on torture. I'm anti-torture, especially if it's happening to me.
Right. But the latest report from this committee, the first review since 2006, has not given the United States of #America a great report.
No.
It says the United States appears to be falling short of full compliance with an international anti-torture treaty. So we're not following the anti-torture treaties.
That's right.
Of the civilized world.
Fuck you, hippie.
The report has expressed concern about allegations of police brutality. Use of force by law enforcement officials, like maybe some guy in Missouri shooting a big black kid coming at him, or maybe some two cops gunning down a 12-year-old kid with a fake gun.
Oh my God, I was in my patrol car the other day, and this big scary guy, he reminded me of Hulk Hogan, tried to pull me out of my patrol car. Demon. I felt like a child.
Demon-faced. Demon-faced.
His face was demonic.
He towered over me at 6'4", even though I'm 6'4".
What did this asshole say? He said after I shot him, he hulked up.
Something like that, like a video game, like he was powering up.
Right, he was like Mario after he got the green mushroom.
It's so fucking bullshitty, and I think there's even something, even today, more discrepancies coming out in that whole fiasco of how that prosecutor McCullough just whitewashed, literally,
hello,
pun intended, whitewashed so much of that bullshit going on that basically like coaching the witnesses to act like a defense witness for the cop, for Darren Wilson, when they're supposed to be bringing charges against him. And the prosecutor McCullough mounted a beautiful defense for poor Darren Wilson.
At Vile Experience, are you telling me that the system fail the people of Ferguson?
Yes.
Absolutely.
The system worked perfectly for the old white guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, duh. Don't be ridiculous. Of course it did. It's a system.
This report from the UN also criticizes America for military interrogations, for our conditions in some of our maximum security prisons, for the way that illegal migrants are treated.
Are they saying the prisons are too nice, or what's the problem?
Yeah, they're too. It's the beds are too fluffy.
They give out too many complimentary bars of soap, like you get at the Hilton.
Exactly. The overuse of solitary confinement, or any use of solitary confinement, I think solitary in general has been found to be not only not useful as a deterrent, but also, just makes people worse. It's not rehabilitative at all.
It's got to be terrifying.
Nuts. Yeah, and it makes people worse and more violent and crazy and shit. So,
do you remember in Cool Hand Luke when Paul Newman, the famous salad dressing profiteer, do you remember when he's placed in
Cool Hand Luke is an ancient an ancient cinema experience where they used to have this thing called film that would go through this machine, and you would see the moving pictures with the sound. What year was Cool Hand Luke? 70s, maybe? 60s?
Yeah.
60s? 70s?
I believe so. Paul Newman. Now, do you think Paul Newman is known by the younger generation as the salad dressing guy or the actor?
Neither.
Who's Paul Newman?
Yeah, how young? Are you talking about like the average Ariana Grande listener young, or
I don't give a shit about him.
Bieber listener young.
Oh, Bieber listener.
They don't. They don't know Paul.
They're moronic.
Right. He was an actor. Why was he on Teen Wolf?
He was on His Line Is It Anyway.
Oh, Jesus.
That would have been a great one.
Another ancient television show, which is coming back, by the way. I guess
that's not ancient.
90s.
Ah, whatever. Yeah, I guess
that's 20 years ago.
Okay, it's ancient.
There you go. We're old as fuck.
We're all going to be dead soon. I'm in a tent. I'm literally in a tent.
Really an interesting. You got to absolutely put that on our Instagram. Follow us on Instagram, by the way, Crab Diving, and tweet us during the show if you like.
Tweedledee.
Tweet it. It's at Crab Diving. We'll be checking that throughout the experience, the crabby experience here.
Are we giving out the phone number?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
We'd have to add people to the phone and see if that works. We could try.
Oh, because I'm on the phone.
Correct.
Too. That's going to be a big pain in the ass. How do I sound, by the way, America? Let us know.
Don't call us though. let us know.
Don't call us. Shit.
I think you sound fine on this end, and I listened. I put my cell phone to my head, and I think you sound fine. Anyway.
Okay. Who cares?
So the one of this UN panel's chief investigators, Alessio Bruni,
hello,
of Italy. That would be ciao.
Yes, ciao. Oh no.
Said at a news conference, there are numerous areas in which certain things should be changed for the United States to comply fully with the convention. So,
yes.
I'm sure the right would be saying, fuck you! We're America! You don't tell us what to do!
Fuck you! Yeah, I agree with you. We don't want any of that. We didn't even want the UN to tell us how to take care of people in wheelchairs.
They criticize us about Guantanamo, which is an international embarrassment, by the way. They say that we should abolish interrogation techniques that rely on sleep or sensory deprivation.
God.
Are we using that? Are we keeping people awake for days and days to try to interrogate them and stuff? What a great, wonderful country we are.
I used it earlier today.
Sleep deprivation?
Oh, yes.
Are you talking now? Have you confessed all of your sins?
Right. I used it, or I was sleep deprived earlier today. Do you realize I almost missed my flight, my connecting flight in Miami?
You said you fell asleep.
I fell asleep right in front of the gate. I mean, right there. I was the last one. They almost closed the plane off. They didn't let me in.
That would have been... Well, what was the next flight? What would have been, did you know what the next pilot was?
I'd still be stuck. I would be doing this show from the handicap stall in the Miami airport.
Keep your feet in the stall.
Oh, yes. No toe tapping.
Don't accidentally toe tap.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what happened.
So that was that report from the United States. Congratulations, America, on this day after Thanksgiving. When we celebrate how the warm natives here allowed us in.
Yes.
Without executive order and fed us and helped us. And then we killed them and took all their shit and gave them blankets riddled with smallpox.
No. That's not totally true. We took some of their land and gave them glass beads for it.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
They got glass beads.
That's right. Manhattan, was that it? Where they got they got a big box of beads?
The white people got
Manhattan Island.
If you could go back in time and invest in any real estate right before it was an up and coming area, would it be Manhattan?
Oh yeah, fuck yeah.
Oh yeah. See, I would have bought up Jerusalem.
Oh great! You're right.
I mean,
Baghdad.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting is what are the Palestinians and the Israelis fighting over? Jerusalem or something?
Among other things.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, there's other issues.
Is the rent high in Jerusalem? Is the cost of living high?
I don't know. Is there a Craigslist? Is there a Jerusalem Craigslist?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm typing in jerusalem.craigslist.org.
I want a 2-bedroom with parking. No street parking.
But I wonder if it would actually be an international. Holy fuck.
Pet friendly, please.
Apartments and housing. I'm on Jerusalem. Is this Israel? It is Israel. No mappable items found.
Oh, yeah.
Housing. No mappable items. It's not working that great for me, but there appears to be a Jerusalem Craigslist in existence.
Do you get a deal if you live in one of the settlements?
I don't know. It depends on what color you are, I guess.
Oh, it definitely does.
Not working. Jerusalem.craigslist.org, not working that great for
me. All right, guys.
It exists.
Something else for that part of the world to work on.
Right. So that's what's going on there. Any big news down in Florida? Is there the weather? No hurricanes? No.
No, the big news is it's dropping to about 31 tonight.
Oh,
and really? My mother has numerous and sundry plants in the backyard that need to come in.
Uh-oh.
Or they will freeze to death.
Scramble.
Oh, yes. No, you have no idea. We have plants here. It's like it's the Amazon out back.
Right.
They're plants that have to be moved with hand trucks.
With?
They're so big.
But where do you put them? Do you put them just all
in the house?
In one room in the house? Does one room look like something from Gilligan's Island now?
It looks like Jurassic Park. My mother told me there's a plant that has to come into the porch that we got to cover with cardboard. And then put a comforter over.
The dog, Zoe, hiding in the bushes, like a clever girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah. the dog was very happy to see me, by the way. I'm sure America cares. But
well, that's good.
I love Zoe. I was watching Zoe and Bowie play today.
Zoe and Bowie. Bowie is your human nephew.
Yes, he's quite human. He's son to my human brother. Jeffrey from Alaska, who is also here in the house visiting.
In the house.
He wants to sit in the studio for part of the show, but, you know, the mic is really live, and it was like, well, you can't really make any noise. I mean, I don't know. But you know what he did? He did fix my tent.
He put
out
like a Hannibal Lecter mask on or something.
Yeah, Jeff, you're more than welcome to sit in. Just here, please put this ball gag on.
You're right.
Don't worry about the chaps.
If I had a nickel.
Oh, yes.
Let's see what else is going on. Hey, listen to the other great programming here on the network. Ladies and Germs, this morning we had a great Morning Wood show Rick. Rick had a guest sitting in today whose last name I remember is Donovan. The first name?
Sean.
Sean. I remember Sean Donovan.
He's a big old commie.
Very commie pinko liberal like us. It was very funny. It's going to rerun tonight at 9 p.m. on the show. And then it's going to go out as a rare, like a white rhino or like a glimpse of Bigfoot. It's going to go out as a podcast.
What?
Available for download on the iTunes. We're going to release it as a little tease, like slipping the tip into the nation. The Morning Wood show. So there'll be like once every couple of weeks or so, we may drop one like somebody who's extraordinarily constipated. And
extraordinarily, except exceptionally constipated.
Right. And every couple of weeks, which is fitting for the Morning Wood show, every couple of weeks, we might drop a gem onto the iTunes and onto the Stitcher for your consumption as a podcast. But mostly you got to listen live to hear Rick's musings and morning manifesti.
Yeah, manifesti.
His morning bitchings.
Yes.
At 8 to 10 a.m. live Pacific, which is 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. out on the Eastern Coast, live every day, every weekday here on the on the big network. What else have we got going?
By the way, if you want to find out who on our network took a shit in a utensil drawer, tune into the Upper Decker nightly at 8 p.m. Correct.
An amazing story. The daily Upper Decker, for the most part, when we're not having technical difficulties, is running 8 p.m. ish. On the network, the live version, not the live, but the brand new episode premieres every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, and then reruns pretty much every night of the week and weekends for 8 p.m. Our schedule will be changing as we add more programming.
And the schedule is up on crabdiving.com on the right-hand side of the page.
The daily, the of that day. Yeah, we're working on a you-can-see-what's-on-tomorrow kind of thing. We're whipping those Bangladeshi programmers and cattle prodding them. We're telling their corporate overlords to decrease their rice until they finish all the stuff that we need finished here. So
I gotta tell you,
worked on.
I'm impressed with anyone making rice off this network.
Right,
good for them.
So that is what's going on there. I just pressed the wrong button on my computer, so now a different browser is open, so we have to wait for that bullshit. Frequently here on the big show, we like to talk about what's going on in the news. Here, listen to Sarah Palin take us into the news.
For these mainstream media characters to get all wee-weed up about that.
Live from the Crab Diving News Studios here in Los Angeles, California, it's time for the news. We head over to the Huffington Post, the commie pinko liberal.
Defeat!
There it is, Huffington Post, where Arianna Huffington gives us the liberal news daily, 24/7. We like to compare it to what's going on over on the Drudge Report.
Oh, yes.
Slightly less progressive.
But weird lately, but really strange.
Totally regressive. Yeah, the whole Ferguson thing, oddly, uncharacteristically less than racist over at the Drudge Report.
I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm like, it's so weird to click on Drudge and see coverage that's sympathetic to non-white people.
Not necessarily sympathetic to non-white people, but focusing on the
not hostile,
the scary overreach of the government aspect of it. like most of the pictures of the headlines, you would think on the Drudge Report during the riots in Ferguson would have been just torched out buildings and dark people dancing over, you know, broken windows and shit. But all the pictures, for the most part, over on Drudge, they were of like all the police with their scary gear on and the big giant vehicles of death that the police are using.
It's so frustrating. I was having a conversation with my brother about this whole Ferguson thing, and really the way the media was spun, the way the verdict was announced, everything. All it did was say, hey, look at all the destruction in Ferguson. Now everybody forgot about the real thing that's going on. Like, we need these cop cameras. The police are over-militarized. God, it's just so frustrating.
Right. It's a way for the government to point and say, hey, look, you know, the system worked. Look at how crazy the black people are going.
Yeah, and I feel like we're all forgetting that way back when this first happened and the protests first started, there were policemen taking journalists and bashing their heads into poles and telling people they couldn't charge their cameras because they didn't want the world to see what was going on there,
and arresting some journalists, right?
Oh yeah, and nobody gives a shit.
And they had one of those no fly zones, I thought too, on Monday night, so the news helicopters for their safety couldn't fly over.
That's so ridiculous. For their safety. By the way, anyone in that crowd that would have something that can take down a helicopter would definitely be on the police force.
Right. Yeah, there's probably not going to be any kind of anti-aircraft guns going on, despite what the NRA would prefer.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it's tyranny that we can't. I can't have a rocket launcher or an RPG, goddammit.
Why can't Ted Nugent have something that can take down an aircraft? Why? Why can't he have that?
Oh, God, terrifying. The headline at the Huffington Post, ladies and gentlemen, is actually a good headline. And delivering boners to the sci-fi geeks worldwide.
Uh-oh.
The headline is, "It's here." And there's a drawing of what has been released. Star Wars The Force Awakens. The trailer has arisen. The first trailer of the J.J. Abrams film, which is going to be starring John Boyega, Daisy Ridley, Adam Driver, Lupita Nyong'o, Oscar Isaac, Max von Sydow's in it, and they say original trilogy cast members Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, and Carrie Fisher, decidedly more lucid probably on this time around acting during Star Wars.
Wow, they're in it, huh? Who does Mark Hamill play?
I don't know.
Luke?
Well, I'm assuming they're playing themselves. Jeez. In some capacity, right? I mean,
yeah, there's no way this movie won't be better than anything George Lucas shat out, right? I mean, this will be a better film.
hopefully better cast.
My God.
In the least bit, hopefully better. I mean, you know, he did okay with, although there are arguments. If you go back and look at...
They all sucked.
Harrison Ford was good.
Oh, what are you talking about? The first Star Wars?
I'm talking about the first Star Wars, even.
The best one by far was Empire Strikes Back, because they got a different director.
Yes.
They got that rom-com director, or the guy that directs like stories about relationships. You know? They got the girls into the tent for Empire Strikes Back. And then you know what they do with the next one? They have Ewoks. Why?
Yeah, and Jar Jar. Let's not forget Jar Jar Binks.
Is Jar Jar Binks, was he more of a slap in the face?
You didn't like the Ewoks.
No. Not in retrospect. When I was a kid, yes, I loved the Ewoks. Now that I watch it, I was like, man, not the teddy bears.
They had great tunes, though.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Dancing around, smoking shit. Remember that one little one was sitting there smoking a pipe all the time? They're probably high as shit.
Oh, yeah.
Having fun, and the big nasty empire shows up. Yes. I mean, spoiler alert.
Do we need to get into, like, discrepancies in plot with Return of the Jedi and why the base that generated the shield that protected the Death Star, why the shield, the generator was not guarded as well as it could have been.
Are you questioning Grand Moff Tarkin's distribution of his troops?
Grand Moff Tarkin? Who is that? Is that an admiral or something?
I don't know. Fire or something? Yeah, that was one of the guys in the... That was one of the little figures I had.
Oh, really?
It was Grand Moff Tarkin.
One of your dolls?
How dare you? They were action figures.
No, I had tons of action figures. Well, listen, there's no way this
was my first movie I made. I was like 11 or 12, and I made a stop-action animated thing with Star Wars figures.
Is that when you hit your friend in the face and filmed it?
Oh, that was high school. Yeah. That was the first video camera we got. We were filming some fight scenes for like freshman high school. I don't know, 14, the film geeks. And there's still, it hasn't been resolved many years later who fucked up. Either I leaned in or he fucked up on his swing. But he delivered like a full, we were like five or six fake punches into this fake battle we were having. And we choreographed it and rehearsed it. And then it just, one of them just went horribly wrong. And he had like this full swing, huge right hand hook and connected right in my nose. And you could, at that moment, I heard this like crack and you could see the blood just start to fly out of the side of my nose. And it bled like a motherfucker. It bled for a really long time. And after the initial like pain and everything wore off, I was in the kitchen with an ice bag on my face and he was like, I'm sorry. And then we started laughing. And then we had to run in and rerun it like 80 times in slow motion. That was ended up being our favorite clip, of course.
Wow, I bet it looked great. I would say it was probably the guy throwing the punch's fault.
I'm sure it was my fault.
Oh, really? See, I bet that maybe he just got into the, you're doing it for real and the adrenaline's flowing and he's like all ooda-hogging about it. He's in the moment. Pow.
Method acting.
Right. Yes.
So that was, yeah, ladies, that was what I did.
Oh, wow.
Had to be freshman in high school, something like that.
Oh shit.
Dork. So, the Star Wars, the official teaser trailer, is out. That's the big news. That's the headline on the Huffington Post.
Ifeet.
Now I'm thinking, the Drudge Report may not have a similar headline because I'm sure there's like brown people or something ISIS-y going on. Holy crap, I am wrong. May the hype be with you, it says on the Drudge Report.
Is it about the
Star Wars? It's about Star Wars.
You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, both the Huffington Post and the Drudge Report have links to the fact that the teaser for the brand new Star Wars movie coming out in, when's it coming out? Next year, maybe? Is already out.
You know, I'm reading a little article in the Daily Mail about it, and they show there's a new kind of newfangled lightsaber. It's really cool.
Right, there's the picture on Drudge Report, in fact. Is it like a cross?
Yes.
Yeah, it's where the... I forget what they call that, but it's the part that, not the hilt. There's a specific name for that part that blocks the blade from hitting you in the hand.
Oh yeah.
I forget what that is, but the guard maybe.
It's the dingleberry.
But that has two little tiny lightsabers sticking out from it, right?
Like, what do you do with that?
I don't know. I think you chop off your own hand a lot.
That looks like a... That looks like a tremendous, I don't know, that looks dangerous. I mean, don't sit on that.
You know where I'll be impressed? Light nunchucks.
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome.
How do you even hold them?
I don't even know. I bet those have happened. You know what the best, listen, I'm sorry, the best weapon ever, kind of like, was in Young Guns, Lou Diamond Phillips with the dagger that he was able to twirl in his fingers. It had blades sticking out at either end.
God, I don't even remember that.
Oh, yeah, dude. That was the coolest. He had the best weapon.
I don't remember that.
Anyway, I can't believe you forgot that. I cannot believe it. Ooh, the Millennium Falcon's going to be back.
I believe so, yeah. I believe so.
I'm just seeing that.
I could actually, I mean, I've got the audio. You won't be able to hear it, but due to technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen, Ryan can't hear the drops in the music. And
I'll just sit here. I'll just sit here like an asshole. Go ahead.
Well, watch it there. Watch it at the same time.
Trailer?
Yeah, I'm going to play the official teaser.
Okay.
Here. Here's a little bit of it.
There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Anyway, I stopped it there because, you know, you got to be watching it. There's a lot of, like, explosions and beeps and music going on. So that's the official Star Wars teaser. We're going to put it on our Facebook. Follow us on the Facebook at facebook.com/crabdiving.
Please engage us.
Engage us. Share us. Love us. Like us. Spread the crabs, ladies and germs.
I was trying to watch the trailer as well, and I was on the Daily Mail. Oh, no, the Mirror.com. That's my favorite site. And I had to watch a 20-second advertisement about something with, like, sick dogs or something. Oh, it's horrible.
God. And then
I mean, I hope that's an ad.
You're there to watch the Star Wars trailer, and you're stuck.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I hope that's just an
McLaughlin, right?
I hope it's just an advertisement.
You're right. I don't think
The movie isn't about... J.J. Abrams is like, we got this whole sequence about sick dogs. It'll be great.
Right. So, a rare instance of the Huffington Post and the Drudge Report agreeing on the fact that the most important news of the moment. I guess that's good, isn't it? That there's no horrible shitty news overshadowing the fact that the new Star Wars trailer or teaser is out. This isn't even the trailer. It's a teaser.
Right. Well, I got to tell you, I'm sure there's shitty news. It's just we don't care about it. We like Star Wars just so much.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I'm sure there's horrible, shitty news going on in the world. For example, I've got an example if you want to hear some horrible, shitty news.
Yes.
Well, maybe not so shitty. You know, there's Black Friday. Today is Black Friday, ladies.
Why's it got to be black?
Well, you know, I don't know if this is true. I saw a story a little bit yesterday on the origins of the term Black Friday. And
yes.
And I don't know if it's true. They said it had something to do with selling slaves. This might be bullshit. On Snopes, in fact, I'm just checking Snopes.com, which, you know, okay, so that's a lie. I know, you know, I don't know. I wasn't sure yesterday. I didn't vet it, and it smelled a little iffy to me, but that the term Black Friday started with selling off slaves on the day after Thanksgiving is not true.
Oh, my God.
It's not true.
That's bullshit, huh?
But they're saying that the term Black Friday is, I think, from in the 50s, they started calling it Black Friday because a lot of workers would call in sick the day after Thanksgiving.
Oh, I see.
In order to get that day off. There was an article in some newspaper that called it Friday after Thanksgiving-itis is a disease second only to the bubonic plague in its effects. At least that's the feeling of those who have to get production out when the, quote, Black Friday comes along. So that's an early mention of it in 1951. Then they started naming it Black Friday because of all the horrible sales that are really... There's nothing more disgusting than today. If you look at all the footage of people fighting over, like, a TV... God, or panties. There was one.
Oh, yes.
Panties somewhere. They were fighting. I think it was Britain. There was a battle over cheap, comfortable panties.
Those are my knickers.
Right. There's just nothing more disgusting. There's people hungry and starving. And
so what?
These fuckers are out coming to fisticuffs over a 50-inch Sony.
What am I supposed to do? Not have underwear?
Right. So I guess I fucked up about that. But in Walmart, you know, there's a lot of protests going on. There's a lot of workers that are striking. I guess there's occasional arrests happening around the country.
Awesome.
At the Drudge Report, one of the actually fun parts is they do have a little section where they're linking to stories about Black Friday. And the headlines are, shoppers brawl over Barbie doll at Walmart. There's another one. Cops pry women off TVs.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead.
This sounds ridiculous. I remember a lot of years ago, there was a story on a Black Friday where this is when stirrup pants were a big deal. Do you remember stirrup pants?
God. Yeah,
dude, a couple of ladies got arrested in a big box store because they were fighting a tug of war over the last pair of stirrup pants. Could you imagine?
Because there's something special about a pair of tights
that just
go around. Yeah. Buy a pair of pantyhose. Buy a pair of pantyhose. Buy a fucking pair of pantyhose and chop off the toe.
Paint your legs black.
Right? Chop off the toe and the heel.
Yeah,
there
exactly.
You go. Instant stirrup pants.
Right. Welcome to Project Runway.
Another headline. Shoppers literally stealing items from other people's carts. Man tries to wrestle away home theater system.
Oh, my God.
So America has gone into a frenzy of capitalistic purchasing.
Yes. By the way, does Black Friday apply to weed dispensaries and things of that nature?
I wonder if they have Black Friday sales in the, I don't know about here.
I'm going to beat the shit out of somebody for this bong.
I wonder if, yeah, I don't see people struggling for the last nugget of Blue Dream.
Oh, wait. If we were talking about the last nugget of Blue Dream, then yes. Yes, you would.
You would see
people die.
Right.
There'd be deaths.
That is the we were talking about that. We played that. So that's Black Friday. Also, this also happened last year, and it's just fucking gross. You talk about those goddamn the wall cunts, the Waltons,
people from Walmart,
the owners, the gazillionaires.
The richest person in Florida is a Walton, and the richest person in Texas is a Walton.
And
I think there's a few others.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but when your company is being subsidized by tax dollars because your company's employees are being subsidized by tax dollars because you won't pay them.
Isn't there a crazy stat? More Walmart has more employees on welfare than any other employer.
I think something like that. Yeah, I mean it's ridiculous. And then, they won't give people X number of hours because then they have to give them benefits, and they won't. Meanwhile, reaping record profits. It's not like they're struggling and they have to make cuts. They're bringing in huge fucking profits. Well, in Oklahoma City, there's a Walmart that they took a picture back in the employee area. There's a box like there was last year. 3430, I guess that's the store. That's the number of the store or whatever. Let's succeed by donating to associates in need. Thanks for your support. It's a canned food drive for their own fucking workers.
You gotta be kidding me. They sell cans.
And they're not that they're raising it to give to some charity. Their workers are the charity.
Do you realize it? God, you could go to Walmart and buy cans to give to people that sell cans.
Right. Here, take this. Can you throw it in a box in the back?
This is insane. What are we doing?
So that's the, I was reading that from the rawstory.com. Me, Pinko Liberal.
Defeat.
That was Think Progress. ThinkProgress.org. Oh. Another commie Pinko Liberal.
That's right.
Periodical on the intranets.
Yes.
I don't think they have a paper presence. Not a lot of people do these days.
That sounds strange.
Have a paper presence?
Yes, I have a paper presence.
I've got a paper presence.
I'm special.
We talked a little bit earlier about the Ferguson situation. And,
oh, yes.
You know, it's just embarrassment, another embarrassment to the world that the process shat upon the rights of not only Michael Brown, his family, and all of us.
Yeah.
Because that jerk-off of a prosecutor, McCullough.
Is he the worst one in this story?
Well, he's supposed to represent the people. And
Is he the most egregious?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Darren Wilson killed somebody.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But yeah. I mean, it was kind of solely on his shoulders and his department's shoulders.
Right.
On how to present this to the grand jury. And it was presented in such a bizarre way and non-usual practice that it was like a defense attorney. It was like the trial.
And he was
a defense attorney.
I heard he presented his case in the style of Kabuki theater.
Yeah, he did.
With a bunch of white makeup on his face, a bunch of karate moves.
But you don't discredit your own witnesses.
No, it's stupid.
You have 20 people. The role of the big trial, the real trial, is for the defense and everything to be able to discredit witnesses and, you know, and present conflicting evidence. The role of the grand jury is for the prosecutor to say, look at all this evidence we have showing he might have done it.
Listen,
And then they say, well, yeah, okay, it deserves a trial. That's it. That's all it's supposed to be.
Right. I learned in our coverage the day following the grand jury verdict that essentially the prosecutor was like if he was on a basketball team, he would be throwing the basketball in the wrong hoop.
Right. Yeah, running the ball in the wrong direction on the football field.
Scoring goals against his own team. Who is looking out for us?
Well, but arguably he scored his goals with his team because his team is with the Popo.
Right.
And so now it's come out, now that all the testimony has been released in this sham of a grand jury process, it's shown that the prosecutors, let's remember this. These are the prosecutors who are supposed to be saying, we would like an indictment against the white guy with the big ears who killed the big black guy.
That's how it always went in Law and Order. Every episode of Law and Order. It started out with the police, and then the police would say, hey, look at this bullshit that just happened. And they give it to the prosecutor, and the prosecutor said, we're going to go get this guy.
Right.
Every Law and Order is like that. How could they fuck this up?
The prosecutor didn't say, wait, we're going to do our best to prove that he didn't do it.
Yeah, and if he did, you know what they made him do? The next day he had to come to work in a dress.
So, the prosecutors who were allegedly seeking an indictment against Darren Wilson repeatedly questioned witnesses about Michael Brown. Now, remember, Michael Brown, the victim here.
He's dead.
They were asking the witnesses. These are the prosecutors were asking the witnesses about his marijuana usage.
What the fuck? Were they drunk? Were the prosecutors drunk?
The marijuana usage of the guy who died. So
that's just so stupid.
Right, and they're trying to try the victim again, just like Trayvon was a thug and a criminal who was thuggishly walking with a hoodie and Skittles.
Oh my God!
And they brought it up. Somebody counted, and they say that his Michael Brown's possible marijuana usage was brought up 44 fucking times.
During the grand jury?
During the grand jury questioning, according to the St. Louis Dispatch.
Dude, that's insane. What does that have to do with anything? Guy got shot to death.
Well, right.
Jesus Christ.
Right, right.
Listen.
It doesn't matter. It's them trying to paint the picture of the big, giant, scary Hulk Hogan demon-faced, wild-eyed with drug use killer.
Exactly. Here's what I would do if I was Obama and if I'm in charge. I'm like, okay.
Uh-oh.
Do what? Yeah, this is a good one. Do whatever you want. I understand. I understand that, listen, people of Ferguson, you fucked up, okay?
Yes.
I get it. But guess where we're going to allow fracking? You get, if you fuck up like this, you get fracking. Right. That's what people would learn. And
we're
going
to slowly poison your air and water.
Yeah.
And your kids are going to have like 3 eyes and 7 testicles.
Or listen, or you could not shoot someone to death and then talk about his marijuana use.
Right.
You don't blame the victim, you get fracking. That's all.
Didn't they do that with Trayvon, too? That, you know, he had been smoking marijuana 7 days beforehand. He was obviously wild-eyed with murder and rage in his blood.
He was a thug in a hoodie.
Right.
The Trayvon thing is even more insane, though, because you're talking about a guy who wasn't even a cop.
Right.
Who shot someone. After someone on 911 told him not to get out of the car and not to engage a guy. And then he shot him. And then he got off and turned into a fucking hero. Which story to you is more offensive?
They're saying that the friend of Brown, Dorian Johnson, said that, I guess one of the conversations they'd had walking was with one of these construction workers. And the construction worker was talking to them about waxing. About you know, dabbing for with marijuana, which is where you use the oil concentrate or the wax, and you heat it up and you inhale the vapors. But that came out in the grand jury testimony. Why does it matter that the construction worker talked to Michael Brown a few minutes before he was killed about how do you dab? What do you wax and shit like that? What does that fucking matter? And then he said, Dorian Johnson, the friend of Brown, says that they didn't have any that day yet. Yet.
God, I mean, since when? Well, what's all this blaming the victim stuff and digging into the victim's past?
Because that's the only way to exonerate the white cop.
You know, there should have been a lot more questions about the trajectory of the bullet.
You get all the Fox idiots,
yes,
all worked up and terrified that the Brown Devil is coming for them from a different direction, and they instantly are on Darren Wilson's side. He was being attacked,
trouble.
Right? And Michael Brown could have maybe stolen a candy bar 10 years beforehand, and they would somehow. That would be the number one story, is that, you know, convicted shoplifter. Like, you know what I mean? That's how they would paint him.
Absolutely.
They said, according to the toxicology report, Michael Brown had 12 nanograms of THC per milliliter of blood.
Okay.
And the toxicologist of St. Louis County said it would take a lot of that. It would take more than that to get a 300-pound person high. They say in a small person, like 100 pounds. I guess he smoked a lot of marijuana to get to that level.
So that's how much marijuana
He did have marijuana in his system. They said he would have had to smoke a lot to get it to that level. But he's also a 300-pound man who requires more to get to that level, just like. Bigger people frequently require more drinking.
And right, and he was walking, by the way. The guy was even walking. How responsible. He could have been driving.
Right. Right.
He wasn't. He wasn't driving high. He was just walking down the sidewalk.
He did finally testify, though. One of the other pathologists said that there was, you know, for that size person, it's still a relatively small amount. And that how marijuana affects you varies, but it certainly doesn't make people go nuts. People don't rage on marijuana.
No, we don't need to be shot.
You got to fight against the marijuana to rage.
God.
So yeah, that just pissed me the fuck off that the seemingly frequent line of questioning 44 goddamn times how much marijuana Michael Brown might have been smoking was brought up.
It's horrible. Oh my God.
So that was the story. That was on Raw Story, actually. .commypinko.liberal.
Did you happen to see the news about Shia LaBeouf?
I did. The it's so fucking weird. So weird. He did you read the whole thing? Do you know?
I'm looking at it now in the mirror.
Yeah, I read it. It's he's out of his fucking mind. We've talked of him frequently before here on the show. And when he did that weird art installation in WeHo, it was you could go in and you sat for, I don't know, you got 5 minutes with him or something, where you could sit across the table from Shia, who was wearing a bag over his head with eye holes cut in it.
And it said, "I am not famous anymore."
I'm
right?
not famous anymore.
He's just crazy. That's all.
And he would sit not speaking.
Yeah.
And you would just stare at each other, and then you would leave. That was his art installation. But now he's alleging that during this event, one of these guests came in, and I don't know, where's security and everything? Allegedly, he says a woman raped him during this experience. That a woman, when the door closed, she took her clothes off, took his clothes off, and somehow raped him.
On Valentine's Day.
On Valentine's
Day. During his art show.
And his girlfriend,
can you imagine?
Was allegedly outside. The thing I read said that his girlfriend was outside in line. I'm like, why does his girlfriend have to wait in line? You think he'd float her a pass, right?
I don't know.
Maybe
I don't
get
know
in the green room.
What do you think it's like to date Shia LaBeouf? Every once in a while, he's like, hey, don't bother me. Just stand in line like everybody else. Don't make it about you.
What kind of a circus? So that's the story now, is that Shia is claiming that some woman somehow raped him.
Listen to this. But now the star has claimed one woman came inside the art installation or whatever. Listen to this. Stripped him and raped him while his girlfriend, Mia Goth, waited oblivious outside in line. Mia Goth.
Right. That's, I said, she was out in line.
Her name is Mia Goth, though. That's
Goth.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, one woman came in with her boyfriend who was outside the door when this happened. Whipped my legs for 10 minutes
and then
stripped my clothing and proceeded to rape me, he reported.
I forgot about that he got whipped, allegedly.
Yeah. Good God. You know, Shia LaBeouf is one of these dudes who is blessed with an acting career, and you know, really all he has to do to not fuck it up is to show up, read his incredibly stupid, ill-thought-out lines, and then go home and stare at the wall.
Yeah.
Why is he getting whipped in art? What's he doing?
There's not a lot going on there. I think he's dumb. I just think he's really, really dumb. And he has substance abuse problems, and he's like alcohol, wasn't it his latest problem? He went to rehab for alcohol.
There were hundreds of people in line when she walked out with disheveled hair and smudged lipstick.
Right.
It was no good. Not just for me, but her man as well.
That's Shia talking, right?
Oh, yeah. On top of that, my girl was in line to see me because it was Valentine's Day and I was living in the gallery for the duration of the event. We were separated for 5 days, no communication. So it really hurt her as well, as I guess the news of it traveled through the line. Did you hear Shia just got raped?
No, that's what happened. I'm calling bullshit again because that would have gotten out.
Are you saying this is bullshit?
There's no way that the line of people waiting to go see Shia LaBeouf would have kept that quiet. The fact that I think somebody just fucked him while this was going on.
And the other thing is, I forgot how crazy this installation was. So is he just in this room with a bag over his head?
Yeah, at a card table.
For 5 days?
And I think there was a whip on the table.
Well, if you don't want to get whipped,
don't put the prop there.
Don't have a whip. I don't know. The riding crop. What the fuck was it? Was it a whip?
No, it was like a bull whip. I saw a picture of it, like all curled up on the table in front of him, like some big 20-foot bull whip.
Is that because he was in Indiana Jones?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe that's where he got it from.
Well,
I think it was there as a symbolic, you know, he's not famous anymore and he's ready for the world to whip him for not being famous. I don't know. I can't explain that, moron. I'm trying to think like him.
Don't do that.
Butthole should be quiet.
We should probably take a break here. We've been yapping for a while. It's about the middle of the show. We like to take a little break here. And before we start deluging you with tons of eager advertisers, we're going to actually just play some music for you guys.
Wonderful.
I've got a couple of songs here. Be Sweet Garden. Remember that one?
Oh, I love that one.
That's kind of like trancey, right? And
yes.
Yeah, we got that one coming up, and we can probably do you have a request of the songs we've been playing?
Ooh, let's see. Hey, what about that Ray Sterling number?
Yeah, Trouble Me. We'll start with that one.
Love that one.
We've got that one too. So we're going to be back in a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget, if you buy shit on Amazon, buy your shit through our hole. Go to crabdiving.com/Amazon. Maybe the copywriter needs to be spoken to on that one.
My mom just gave me the thumbs up for that one. She was like, good line by Pat.
Great. Go to Amazon, crabdiving.com/Amazon. Buy your stuff. We get a little taste, a little nibble, a little cut of whatever you guys buy. It doesn't cost you a thing. It's courtesy of the corporate overlords over at Amazon as a finder's fee for us. I'm leading you there.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Pay me.
Then we've got, if you're into beer, we also, if you want to brew your own beer and you don't know how to get started and stuff, well, buy a kit. Let Mr. Beer do all the work for you and assemble all that bullshit together so that you can learn how to brew your own beer. Buy a kit for someone who is a beer enthusiast.
Isn't that the worst when you buy something and you have to assemble it yourself?
Exactly.
That is such bullshit. But wait, buy this beer kit anyway.
Buy this beer kit anyway. Go to crabdiving.com/beer if you are actually into the assembly. Some people like building stuff and making their own beer instead of just wandering down to the Quickie Mart and picking up a Sixer or a Bud Light.
Right.
So we're going to start some music. We'll be back here in a few minutes. Go away, recharge, purge, whatever you guys need to do. Bit more crab diving after this little musical interlude. Yeah.
I can't hide from you in my sleep. I might have buried you a bit too deep. Now I carry you around. You're my shadow underground. I know the visions are not real, but I still like the way they hover forever right on and breathe. It's when I slow down that I start to fall back to the place where I hit it all. You're bothering me. by the end.
Dick Cheney is running. I just saw like a weird jump in the voice. This might be the first time we're actually going out to talk since the music. But if that's the case, we're back from break, ladies and gentlemen. The levels weren't bouncing. It's very strange. So there might have been a little gap. We might have been back. We might just be back, ladies and gentlemen, from Florida and from Los Angeles, California at the same time. Hey, thanks for listening to us. We're going to be here till 4 p.m. Pacific. Till 7 p.m. out on the Eastern Type Coast.
Yeah.
We're here every weekday during those times. And then if it's not between those times, you're listening to our rerun. We rerun the show occasionally. On the weekends, we rerun the fuck out of the show.
Get your crab fix on Saturday and Sundays.
Yeah, we're going to start these crabathons on Saturdays and Sundays where we're going to just rerun the show Monday through Friday's show. Back to back. 1, 2, 3, 4, to back. And then we'll also have the other great programming mixed in there too. But we're not live on the weekends, so we're gonna inject you guys with the crabs, with some reruns of the crabs.
That's right. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's always good. A little bit of sports news. Don't forget to listen to our great sports show Wednesday nights. They're new, the Daily Upper Decker. It's actually weekly, but you can go to their website, which is the Daily Upper Decker. But the new episodes here on the Crab Diving Network, Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Pacific. And then we're rerunning those at 8 p.m. every night. But we've got a little sports. I got a couple sports stories here. One is in the headlines today. You might remember Ray Rice.
Oh, yeah, sure. Wife beater.
Great right hook, apparently.
Yeah, really dark episode of Candid Camera.
Yeah, and well, he won his appeal with the NFL Players Union, and his suspension from the game has been vacated effective immediately. The former federal judge, I guess they went to arbitration, you know, it's a union dealio. And the former federal judge decided whether the NFL overstepped its authority when it modified Rice's earlier two-game suspension. That was kind of bullshit. Remember, Roger Goodell, that turd, first of all, gave him two games. And then after the public outcry said, oh, well, I guess we're gonna suspend him for the rest of the season. You know, it's kind of double jeopardy-ish.
Yeah.
And So as heinous as what Ray Rice did, I mean, I kind of agree with him on this one that, you know, stop fucking around with, well, we changed our mind. We changed our mind. Here's your punishment. Oh, no, we changed our mind again. Here's your punishment.
But why should it matter, though? I mean, as long as they come up with the appropriate punishment, what's it matter how they get there?
But they didn't. You can't keep saying, well, we don't like that decision, so we're going to sentence you to this. Well, we don't like that, so we're going to sentence you to this.
Yeah, but it is a private organization. Can't they do whatever they want?
Well, no, but there are agreements. There's binding. Yeah. That's what the judge ruled in favor of the union, and said that the NFL violated the agreement by essentially sentencing him twice after he had served that 2-day suspension. 2 days.
Oh my God.
Didn't they find the video? Didn't the video come out afterwards?
Yeah.
The actual hit, like the first video they saw was just, wasn't it the, it was just like him dragging her out unconscious.
It was the aftermath of it. Right. But then it came out that they had actually seen the whole thing.
Right.
And they were
allegedly lying.
Goodell was lying.
Allegedly. Who has, by the way, vanished again down his hole. Nobody's seen Goodell for a long time.
Oh, hey, listen, if I'm Goodell, I'd vanish too. I'd be on wherever Ken Lay's hanging out.
So, congrats to Ray Rice going to be back on the gridiron.
Good for you, Ray Rice. You and Michael Vick have so much fun together. Right. And assholes.
Also in football, America's favorite team, Washington.
Oh, God. Team, are you kidding me?
The team from Washington, who has a name that many sports broadcasters will not speak.
We are not allowed to say it on this show.
It's like Voldemort. It will not be named.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday, on interestingly enough, the Washington Redskins decided to tweet out a happy Thanksgiving from the Redskins.
Shut up.
With, of course, their logo, which is an Indian. I don't know if he's a chief or whatever, but it's an Indian with the feathers in his hair.
Yeah, they don't know. They don't know if he's a chief either. They were just like, put a guy with feathers on his head.
Yeah, red. Make him red.
Yeah, make him red. That's the only thing that matters.
And it says it's just this picture with a meme kind of a thing. It says Happy Thanksgiving. Meme. Happy Thanksgiving from the Redskins.
Here's some chicken pox.
And the tweet says, from our family to yours, have a very safe and happy hashtag Thanksgiving.
From our white fucking family to yours.
All right. And not, and I mean, not only is it, it's on Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the day that ridiculously celebrates our friendship with the American Indians who we genocided in.
Yeah, it's all kind of irony. It's ironic. It's right. Stupid.
And then these dumb assholes. Who, again, is there anybody in the organization over there that is saying, you know, maybe we just shouldn't do that. Maybe we shouldn't give out a happy Thanksgiving. Maybe it'll be okay. The NFL fans that are following at Redskins, by the way, is their Twitter. Good thing they jumped on that one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they shouldn't do anything on Thanksgiving. Who do you think that organization is on Thanksgiving? Are they pilgrims or are they Indians?
You're right. So there were some good, there were, of course, some funny responses. One guy said, also, happy Labor Day from Walmart.
It's a good one.
One guy said, have you ever seen those cartoons where Wile E. Coyote doesn't realize he ran off the cliff? And then then he retweeted the Happy Thanksgiving.
That's always so funny, too, because Wile E. Coyote's just standing there in midair, just kind of looking like, you know, forlornly towards the camera. And then his body falls and his neck stretches out really longly, and then his face It right. just falls down.
His body falls first, and then his head catches up.
It's hilarious.
It's funny. It's funny shit.
God.
So good. So the Redskins, the Washington, the Washington team.
Yes.
The Washington NFL team, maybe yes. not pre-thinking their Thanksgiving tweets.
Well, I mean, to be fair, a lot of people send out happy Thanksgiving tweets. You know, it's just they don't represent an organization that has a name that's like a racial slur.
Redskins, right.
Against a major player in the whole Thanksgiving Day origin story.
That's like whoever has at the N-word on Twitter tweeting out on MLK Day or something.
That doesn't exist. There's no way that exists.
Oh, no, I gotta look.
Oh, God.
I mean, I'm assuming it's something that, oh, my God, someone has...
No way.
...on Twitter at N-I-G-G-E-R...
Shut up.
And they've given it the name Barack Obama.
Oh, my God, of course. I tell you, that people...
Then it says, not actually the president.
Uh-huh. Sure.
763 followers. That tells me that maybe they haven't... Like, they keep finding this... You know, they wait for it to get banned.
Yeah.
But you think it would be something they would ban permanently.
Yeah, what are they doing at Twitter?
That word.
It's ridiculous. I remember when Barack Obama was elected to office the first time to the presidency. It was like, man, America's ready for a black president, but I guess they're really not.
Right.
I don't think they are.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know how well it's working out.
I'm
just everybody's just so fucking racist and hateful. I'm
foolishly scrolling through the at N-word Twitter feed, and you know it's exactly isn't what that, I think it would be.
Isn't it Governor Rick Perry's backup account?
It is. It's the name of his old hunting grounds. So yeah, follow us on the Twitter. Tweet us during the show if you like at Crab Diving. Don't forget, we also have another Twitter for the network where you can find out about all the shows that are going on at
right.
Crab Diving Net.
Check it out.
Follow that. Love it. Like it. Spread it.
Yes.
Spread them, everybody.
Yeah.
I've got, let's see what else I got. So that's the Washington story. That might be it for sports.
Oh, really? Hey, I'm just seeing Justin Bieber may not be coming back to the U.S. ever.
Oh, really?
Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. God, I have horrible reading comprehension. I'll never come back to the UK.
Oh, that's. I'm sure they're sad.
Yeah. Justin Bieber cancels ITV appearance after Fortnite of Hell on tour. Oh, jeez.
Fortnite of Hell on tour?
What is a Fortnite? I forget. What length of time is that? It's a month?
2 weeks. Right?
Oh, okay. So it's under a week. Yeah. Shit.
How old is that story?
Hold on a second. Is it? Oh, it's a it's a year and a half old.
That's what I thought. Breaking news here on crabdiving.com. Because I actually do have a Bieber story.
I do, really?
From a few days ago.
Just so you know, the Shia LaBeouf story I read in the Mirror was recent.
That is a recent story.
Yeah, what a fuck up.
Bieber,
I'm not reading anymore.
I believe Bieber has been back to the UK since then, maybe.
Oh, really?
I think
good for him.
I think he lied when he said that.
Oh, he doesn't know. I mean, to be fair, that's not a guy.
He doesn't know where he is.
No. Right. He has no fucking idea where he is ever.
Justin Bieber, I've got a story. This one's going to drive you crazy. Justin Bieber topping the Forbes list of highest earning celebrities under 30.
Oh, God. Oh, God. What if there's anybody here that's available to hit me in the face with a bottle?
I'm sure
find something sharp. Stab me to death when you get a chance.
One of the other Pfeiffers run in there and put Ryan out of his misery. The 20-year-old pop singer raked in $80 million this past year.
Wow.
He placed second last year behind Gaga.
Wow.
But moved ahead and is now the top earning celebrity under 30.
Holy shit. Wow. I mean, good for him, man. That's great. I mean, I hope he's saving the money. I hope he doesn't waste it all. Is Bieber one of these guys that when he's, you know, 45 years old, is he going to be destitute?
I don't know. I don't know if he's blowing his money, you know, in a manner of like some of these guys who are broke. I mean, like, did you see Scott Stapp or whatever, the guy, the lead singer of Creed?
Oh, gross.
Did you see he's like done lost his mind? He a couple days ago tweeted out or Facebooked or something, some shit about how he's broke and living in his van. And then he's scraping up enough money to live in a hotel, and the IRS was coming for him, and Obama was coming for him.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now I guess it comes out today that he's been sent away for a little involuntary vacation.
Yeah. He's just another shitty pop star that's been caught by a butterfly net.
And put away for a little while. There's his ex-wife is saying he's a paranoid schizophrenic, that it's all bullshit. He's back on the drugs big time. He's selling off the broke part. I think she says is right, that you know, he's been selling off all the shit to keep his drug habit going.
How in the fuck is Creed broke? I mean, they're
Creed,
horrible.
They ain't playing bar mitzvahs or anything. When was the last Creed song that came out?
I was actually trying to remember a Creed song, and I'm like, it's not because I'm feeling. Yeah, that sounds like Pearl Jam. What is Creed sing? They do all the Christian
My Sacrifice,
rock.
That one.
Oh, yeah.
And Can You Take Me Higher?
No. Can You Take Me Higher? No, that can't be. Is that Creed?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
From 99.
Who's worse, Nickelback or Creed? I'm going to go with Nickelback. They're both shitty.
Why does everybody hate Nickelback so much?
Let me check. Oh, yeah, they suck.
Oh, I see.
As does Creed.
I see.
Enough white guys with long hair and guitars, okay? Enough of this. We've done this. It's exhausted. Find something else.
Do you want to hear the rest of the top five here, or the top earning celebrities under 30?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The second, they've grouped together. In second is One Direction, the boy band.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I was sawing the veins on my wrist in half.
Average age 21. They earned an estimated $75 million.
God. No, I'm sorry. I was just screaming at that last number. I didn't mean it.
The top-ranked woman on the list is in third place, Taylor Swift.
Ooh.
$64 million.
You know, if my brothers are listening, if they could come in here and just pour gasoline over my little makeshift studio and light it on fire, that would be great. I'd appreciate it.
Coming in at four is Bruno Mars, barely making it because he's so long in the tooth at 29. He almost didn't make the under 30 list.
Where are those Olsen twins?
But Bruno is at 60. Rihanna at $48 million.
Oh my God!
Was the fifth at $48 million.
Wow, One Direction made more money than Rihanna.
Yes.
That's amazing. Who listens to any of this shit anyway? Really.
The only actor in the top 10, the only actor in the under 30 list.
Emma Watson.
Is 24-year-old Jennifer Lawrence with an estimated earnings of $34 million over this last year.
She deserves it. She was great in that movie, The Hunger Games. Wonderful.
Expect Jennifer Lawrence's earnings to stay strong as she continues to balance Hunger Games and X-Men, giant franchises, and then she's doing like a couple of smaller films.
How's she going to make it work? I mean, it's such a tight schedule.
Is she going to be okay?
I mean, really, I hate that. She's trying to balance two movies and some television projects. Meanwhile, we got these Mexican neighbors who all I do is see them go to work all day. They're working three jobs.
Right.
But hey, listen, it's not like balancing The Hunger Games and some other stupid movie I'm in.
I don't think she's crying about it. They're talking about the fact that she's going to, because she's doing these giant tentpole movies, she's going to be making millions anyway. But then that's not all she does. She also goes off and does little low budget art filmy kind of stuff.
Fuck that.
For her art.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But go make art later when you're old and ugly. Nobody gives a shit about you.
Nice.
Sorry.
Make art later. Like Michael Caine said, right?
Hello. I don't know what Michael Caine said. He was busy on the set of Jaws 4.
That Oscar speech.
In 3D.
Where he said he made a lot of crap and a lot of money.
Yeah.
And now he can do art. Now he can do good movies. But then goes off and does Batman.
Yeah, Michael Caine's amazing. I love that Oscar speech when he, I think he won for the Cider House Rules.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the year the kid from Haley Joel Osment was nominated for some stupid Bruce Willis movie. And Michael Caine was like, "Oh, Haley, I expect great things from you. You'll be nominated for many, many more Academy Awards," or something like that.
How's that going?
He was nominated for one award. I'd take that.
Haley is frequently on those horrible side ads that you see on websites that are clickbait, on those lists that are like 15 child stars that grew up ass ugly.
Yeah.
And they frequently show poor Haley Joel Osment, his picture now.
Oh, man. He's in a movie coming up, isn't he? Or something.
You know, he's got something coming up. I think it was a comedy. Like, it's kind of like a buddy comedy or something like that. They're trying
Doesn't
to...
He,
his
he
new image like, is the regular, goofy college kid.
He's a big, fat guy. Big, fat, funny guy. That's nothing wrong with that. That's a great...
Yeah, I think...
Great little demo.
He's going for that character niche.
Yes, a niche.
Being the big, fat guy. I've got a story here about, I'm trying to find the one that I just fucking looked at. Oh, the city of, you're in Florida?
Oh, yes, I am.
Well, the city of Miami, Florida, has decided that an ad that was going up on the bus stops for an app. It's a dude hookup app called squirt.org.
Shut up. That's funny.
They had to have them taken down. This is from Canada. Oh, wait. I don't know. The story is Canada, but the city of Miami. Local news reported that a couple weeks ago, squirt.org's nonstop hookups bus ad campaign had stirred up the local community in Miami, Florida. The ad promoting a squirt gay dating site. And the ad showed two shirtless dudes hugging, along with the tagline from the website, "Hot and Horny Hookups." another slogan on this ad was "Nonstop Hookups." The ads were placed near popular gay clubs, near establishments in Miami, including listen, the Eros Lounge, the Magnum Lounge,
Magnum,
the Dugout, Club Azucar, which means sugar in Spanish, and Club Aqua Miami.
Oh my God, Club Aqua.
They did say, however, that the ad, the content went through a quote, rigorous approval process. But of course, some mother complained to the city of Miami that it was inappropriate. The Squirt responded, lots of straight themed ads are as or more sexy than ours. Look at Michael Kors, Guess, Calvin Klein ads. If these ads can be seen on the streets of America, we don't understand why two men embracing cannot.
Yeah, and some of those American Apparel ads, I mean, oh my God.
So they asked, when their updated creative might go live, the ad distributor said it's become too political for the city of Miami to touch. The Pink Triangle Press, which is the operator of Squirt, has started a petition against the city of Miami on change.org to have the ad reinstated.
I mean, come on. You gotta, if you can't have that in Miami, where can you have it?
Right. And it's really not, I mean, it's too, I see a picture of it on the website. It's two really hairy dudes with beards, like two bearish types.
Yes.
That are hugging. And they're not like licking each other's nipples. They're not sticking their dicks in each other's starfish.
It looks like an ad for Brawny paper towels, but with a little something else.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's really not horribly offensive, aside from the fact that it's two mans touching each other.
Do you think people just need to relax?
Who cares?
If you don't want to look at the ad on the bus stop, then avert your eyes and stare at something else. It's Miami. There are other things to look at, I'm sure.
Right. I don't want to see baby ads.
Yeah, hey, how's that? That offends me.
Right. It hurts my eyes.
I mean, really, who cares? Grow up. The world is not a sandbox. But what if my kids ask me what that means? Tell them.
Why are those two men hugging? Because they like each other. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's going to be the response you get. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't care. I want my Legos.
Because they're hugging because Satan has invaded both of their bodies.
Duh.
Yeah, duh.
Of course.
Let's see. I've got another story.
And by the way, on the Daily Squirt, what's it called? The Squirt? Squirt? What is it? The Squirt.org?
Squirt.org is the website and app where you can hook up with other gentlemen.
I bet the right wing nut job together. That we cover on this show, like the Brian Fishers, the Pat Robertsons, and Coach Dave. I bet they'd sign up for this Squirt thing.
They may already have profiles.
Oh, yeah. You think it's weird when Pat Robertson signs up for one of these apps and then Glenn Beck shows up at his door and he's like, oh, shit, this is awkward.
Yeah, oops. What else have I got? Oh, not too long ago, we had a story. Actually, this isn't as impressive. We have a record in the UK.
Oh, shit.
A record UK divorce settlement. Now, here on the show, if you go to crabdiving.com, you can download past episodes of this and all the other great entertainment here on the network. You can also go to iTunes and Stitcher. The divorce settlement we talked about here in the United States was being contested. Remember, it's that Oklahoma oil billionaire.
Oh, yeah.
Who his ex-wife was going to get $1 billion, and she's appealing and saying that ain't enough.
Oh, I hope she wins.
Well,
I love this.
I guess there was a settlement in the UK. They have their record over there. The payment includes $493 million in cash, plus a home in Connecticut. It's a hedge fund couple. A London court ordered British billionaire Chris Hone to pay his estranged American-born wife, Jamie Cooper Hone, about $530 million total.
Wow. Oh, my God. And a home.
Now they have given some back. The ex-couple founded the Children's Investment Fund Foundation, which is a private charity that has an investment fund worth $4 billion.
Holy shit.
So they've got an investment fund going out. So they, you know, they do good too. She had sought half of the assets, but he said his talents in money making counted as a special contribution to the marriage and that she was only entitled to 1/4.
Oh my God. Jesus.
That is a record in the United Kingdom.
Plus a home. Plus she got a home.
Right. In Connecticut. She got the house in Connecticut. She's American anyway, I guess.
Oh my God.
Pretty scary.
Yeah.
The speaking of tycoons, this is a story I saw. This one will make you love the rich even more. You know, in France, they have those evil 35-hour work weeks.
La Resistance!
And, you know, free health care. And in other parts of Europe, free education.
We're here!
And but in France, they also have 6 or 8 weeks of paid vacation or something.
Hippies!
Mandated.
Ne'er-do-wells!
Maternity leave for both parents, or I guess kid leave it would be. Wouldn't be maternity if you're a dad.
Well, it could be, depending on, you know.
True. That's true.
I don't know.
So a guy here in the United States of America, a big stinking tycoon.
That's right, boy.
Who is a tire guy, Titan International. Doesn't that sound evil? Just the name of it.
Titan International. Yeah, it sounds real evil. He makes tires.
Yes. Well,
good for him.
He had expressed interest in taking over a plant that was losing money, a Goodyear tire plant in Amiens, France.
Amiens. Welcome to Amiens.
But he's decided not to because there's no way they could make it work, make enough profit, because he says it's the labor. And he says France should just become communist. Maurice Taylor, chief executive of Titan International, dickwad extraordinaire, said, you can't buy Goodyear. Under your law, we have to take a minimum of 662 to 672 employees. You can't do that. The most I could take is 333. There's no business for that plant right now.
My God.
He said, I tried to tell them all that before, but you guys have got to wake up over there and tell those unions, hey, if you're so smart, you should buy the factory. Meanwhile, in places where the employees are buying these giant mega corporations and owning it as a collective, it's kind of working.
Yeah. Well, isn't there a grocery store chain, or maybe it's more like a Walmart, where the employees own it?
Yeah.
Starts with a W,
yeah,
Winco or something.
Something like that. Yeah, that was on our Facebook, too, at one point, facebook.com/crybaby.
It's quite profitable.
Yes, more profitable. I remember the story was.
Yeah.
And one of the airlines, I think, is it American? Or one of the airlines is employee-owned, or some of the airlines are employee-owned also. Goodyear said it was going to close the factory after negotiations with the unions failed to come up with a solution to save the whole thing. He said this guy has shit on France before. He wrote a letter to the French industrial renewal minister last year saying that French workers are lazy.
Oh, they're all lazy.
They're overpaid.
Hand me a beret.
Quote, they get 1 hour for breaks and lunch, talk for three, and work for three.
Hey, suck a dick, dude. How long does this guy work?
By the way,
they
have it's 7 hour days there. They don't have 8 hour days.
Oh wow, how nice! And how hard does this guy work?
I told this to the French union workers to their faces. They told me that's the French way.
Yeah. Good for them.
The minister at the time, Arnaud Montebourg, struck back and said, "Your extremist insults display a perfect ignorance of what our country is about.
You smell of elderberries."
And then he said, "Be assured you can count on me to inspect your tire imports with a redoubled zeal." So he's like, "Motherfucker, go ahead and talk bad about the French. I will examine your bullshit even closer now.
We don't want your stupid tires. Oui, oui.
So there are cases we've talked about before where sometimes the unions maybe get a little out of hand, get a little crazy.
The only time, really, it's this policeman's union. That's the union we have a problem with.
Yes. Yes, in a big way here in America.
But all the other unions are fine.
Yeah. I mean, there are abuses.
Come on.
I think for the most part, you know, there's in every business where there are unions, it's an adversarial relationship with management. It's management has an us versus them kind of a mindset.
But not in France. France, they would have worked together.
Well, and where the employees own the companies, where control of a company and ownership of its stock is limited to certain percentages. You can't have one motherfucking asshole oligarch dickwad wielding the schlong of giant mega national companies just because he owns X number of percent of shares.
Schlong wielder, you've been called out.
Yeah, and they can't do that. So it's limited to smaller ownership.
And this guy that didn't get his way with this plant, didn't it sound like he was just, "I'm going to take my marbles. I'm going home."
What's exactly what it is? They won't. It's wah, wah, wah. You're not going to let us make profit. I'm surprised he's not trying to sue them for the lost profit, like that fuckwad, asshole, evil, mustache-twirling oil company here in California that we talked about on last week's show. One of the shows last week, go to crabdiving.com.
Read all about it.
Yeah, where I can't remember the name of that evil company.
I can't either. Skynet.
A county here in California voted, "We don't want fracking. We don't want fracking."
It was Skynet fracking.
It wasn't. And the company then is now trying to sue the county for over $1 billion in potential lost profits. We can't dig our holes and poison your wells and your air and pollute the ground and spill our shit everywhere. You don't want us doing that. Well, we're going to sue you for the money we would have made off of doing all that horrible shit to you in the first place.
Well, listen, like I said last week, at least they didn't frack. That's the important thing. I mean, even if they win this stupid lawsuit, at least they didn't frack. Right.
But we got to watch out for that. This TPP. I'm worried about Obama. I'm really worried about that one because Obama likes that fucking TPP bullshit, and he may actually. This might be one of the things that he works with. Quote.
Oh shit!
The Congress fuckers. Actually try to pass and try to get passed through this approving of this this Trans-Pacific partnership, which he's selling. Oh, it's going to help jobs, help economy. It's bullshit. Right. It's turning over and presenting our starfish to the giant multinational corporations.
Do you think
ceding government and people's sovereignty to these fucking corporations? It would allow more of that kind of shit.
I will not have my sovereignty ceded.
Yeah, it's going to allow more of the kind of shit of corporations. Who will successfully be able to sue because they can't fuck the world. You're not letting us fuck you. We're going to sue you then.
Listen, that would be that's a great bumper sticker. If we were selling merch, "You can't fuck the world" would be a great bumper sticker.
Right. You can't fuck the world. Hashtag. Trademark. And all that stuff.
Man.
So a big, giant, crabby fuck you to Maurice Taylor of Titan International, which sounds evil. It sounds like a movie name.
Maurice! No one likes you.
Doesn't sound like a movie name of an evil corporation.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds made up. It does.
Titan International.
Titan International.
Those horrible French. They're having a great... they worry about quality of life over quality of work. What's wrong with them?
Oui, oui. You don't know me. Talk to the hand.
And I just hope... I just hope that the infection here in the United States, the infestation of these goddamn capitalist pig dicks who just don't give a shit about anything except a couple more zeros in their Cayman accounts. I hope that Europe wins out, that the European thought process of caring more about, I don't know, people's lives and how people quality of life.
We will not tolerate the capitalist pig dicks for one more moment.
Yeah, I just don't understand how these guys can sit there and Exxon make billions and billions and billions of profit. Meanwhile, they go out and fight. If you try to take $3 of tax welfare from them, they whine and scream, you're cutting our profits, me.
I mean, even if you think about BP, I mean, they fought that settlement so hard for spilling...
They're still appealing the fuck out of it. And didn't they, not that long ago, actually succeed in reducing some of the damages?
I mean, it makes a guy think, you know, if you're not going to be severely punished for coating the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico with a big slathering of oil... Then what do you get in trouble for? I mean, why what does it take?
Yeah, and why is nobody in jail? Because somewhere along the line, one of those just warts on the anus of a dead yak made the decision to not have oversight over, you know, to not follow the rules, to not follow the inspector's decisions and shit, and the goddamn oil rig blew up.
I feel bad for the yak.
The yak is no longer with us. I don't mean to disparage any yak wounds or whatever. Whatever yak warts.
No yak was harmed in Pat's simile or metaphor or whatever it was.
Whatever, my ridiculous bullshit.
I like it.
I've got, this one's funny. I think it's a good one. There is, you know, we frequently talk about religiosity here on Crab Diving.
I love it.
2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific every weekday live. We rerun throughout the day. Other great programming here throughout the day. 24/7 streaming to your ear holes.
Cha-ching.
Listen to us. And you can also download pretty much everything that's on the network here as a podcast. Also go to crabdiving.com, go to Stitcher, go to iTunes. That's
oh my god, there's just so much to download.
There's a lot of activity going on,
a lot of content
up in here. Well, you know, the attendance at these Sunday events is starting to wane.
Ah, come on.
To which I say, fortunately.
Yes.
So a branding agency that is a Christian ad agency kind of deal called Lux Dei Design, which I believe, if my Latin is correct, means light of God design, is a church branding agency.
Oh, great.
And they are committed to, quote, using cutting-edge communication technology to empower the 21st century church.
What does that mean? Like GIFs? Holograms?
Everything, Ryan. 3D printers. Or maybe they can print out the cookie you eat. The Jesus.
All the technology, the cutting-edge ad technology. Are they going to have those little inflatable, crazy... what are those big balloon animals you see flopping around in front of a used car place or a
the dancing guy or whatever.
Are they going to use those?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, what they're talking about is they're starting a new project called the McMass.
Oh, they're going to use sign spinners.
No. They want to put little McDonald's franchises in the church.
Oh, good. Perfect. Now, they're nonprofit, so they don't have to pay taxes, but they got a McDonald's.
Well, this design agency probably does, is for profit. But they say on the McMass website, we realized that a design approach, an entrepreneurial approach, had the potential to revolutionize how churches engage with the world. We want to see churches return to the center of everyday life.
And the
way to engage with our modern culture is through innovation. So in other words, they're putting fat fuck bait in. They want to put McDonald's in the church to bring people into the churches as places to hang out. They want to have a ball pit next to the confessional.
Well, I don't think that's a good idea at all for other reasons. But listen, I respect that. Chicken McNuggets brings people to Jesus.
Well, you know it's going to be Chick-fil-A.
Come on, that's not even funny.
Churches are community centers, they say, but need to attract people and support themselves financially. McDonald's?
I want some chicken tenders and ranch dressing, so I'll die earlier.
McDonald's are profitable and draw constant crowds, but need great centrally located spaces. So together, a McDonald's church will support itself and become increasingly active in its community.
You know, Eve was created from a McRib.
She was.
Bam!
Gross.
They've
started an Indiegogo fundraiser.
Oh, come on.
And they say they're going to need, they think, $1 million to launch a pilot McDonald's church.
Where? It's not actually a church that will be, it's not a McDonald's that will be in a church. It's a McDonald's that also happens to be a church.
Yes, they're going to merge with a church to also have a McDonald's franchise within. But you're also going to be praising the Lord as you're stuffing fries and chicken McNuggets into your fat mouth.
You know, when McDonald's was approached about this idea, they were quoted as saying, yeah, why the fuck not?
Oh, sure. I mean, why would
they? Sounds good to me.
Wait, you want to have more of our great restaurant?
You know, one day they had this McDonald's church going, and they ran out of food, and Jesus came in there and split up one of those fish fillets. So good, delicious.
Right. They ran out of buns and fish.
Yeah.
So he came in and split it.
Are you saying that did Jesus invent fish McNuggets? Fish nuggets?
I don't know that they were deep fried. Jesus did the fishes and the loaves, I think.
You don't know how the fish was prepared? Was it blackened?
I don't know. I don't know exactly how our Lord prepared the meal.
I don't know.
Actually, did they have to then go and did the fish show up cooked?
I don't know.
Or did they have to, did like all these fish appear and they handed them to the women and they're like, here, go for it, ladies.
There's someone that isn't going to burn in hell. Tweet us at Crab Diving. Let us know how the fish was prepared in that ridiculous story where Jesus feeds a shitload of people from one fillet.
Right.
And bread, too. How was the bread prepared? Was it a croissant?
Maybe a cronut.
Oh, was it? Oh, it was a cronut.
Yeah, Jesus invented the cronut. That's a little known fact.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
A McDonald's, a McChurch. I mean, that is just...
How more disgusting?
A
McChurch.
Why not? Oh, why not? Oh,
brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah. We should,
how does it work?
We should
when
look
I'm
into
sitting
that.
There, when I'm sitting there praying, does somebody bring me fries?
I guess. Maybe you kneel it at your table instead of sit.
Are they gonna give free McNuggets to starving people?
Oh, hell no. They're Christians. They don't help the poor.
Oh, no.
Help yourself.
Hey.
What are you, crazy? This is American Christianity.
Yeah. Walk it off.
Not the Jesus, the real Jesus Christianity, where you're supposed to help the poor and stuff like that.
Oh, right. Yeah, no. That guy stole cigarettes. I'm so glad Darren Wilson blew his brains out.
Right. It's stealing cigarillos and is obviously worthy of the penalty in certain parts of America.
And by the way, don't bother me about the name of that Washington team. It's fine. No one cares.
Right, nobody cares.
It doesn't offend me.
Well, we got to wrap up everything here on a Crab Diving Friday. We're actually putting a big pink bow on the whole fucking week.
Why's it got to be pink?
Because why not? Thanks for listening to us. We are here, like I said, live 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. every weekday. And you can listen to us on crabdiving.com/listen. Don't forget the other great shows that are here on the network 24/7 for your enjoyment. You know where to go to find out all about them? Go to goddamn crabdiving.com. And that's where you'll be able to find everything. Don't forget us on Twitter at crabdiving. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/crabdiving. All over the place. Instagram. Share us, like us, love us. Ryan Pfeiffer, are you doing some comedy in Pensacola tonight?
Yes, I will be at the Big Easy Tavern in Pensacola, Florida around 10:30 p.m. doing some comedy.
There you go. Meet half of the crabs in Florida tonight. Find out. Are you going to tweet that info out?
I'll tweet it.
Ryan will tweet it at Rated R Comedy.
Follow the very funny Patrick Vile on Twitter at Vile Experience. Oh, so vile.
Thank you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Everything and anything about us is at crabdiving.com. Keep listening. More cantilinguists are going to show up. A rerun of last week's show, brand new one, drops tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Crab Diving. Catch the crabs on Facebook, facebook.com/crabdiving, and on Twitter and Instagram, @crabdiving.